Yeah, this week's parasha is parashat Bo, and there are many different mitzvot out of the 613 mitzvot. So yeah, we're going to do a little bit of the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch is one of the Rishonim. So that means he's probably around the 1200s when he wrote the book, 1300s maybe. And what he did is he took the 613 mitzvot according to the calculation of the Harambam. And he lists all of the mitzvot, but he gives a little bit of rationale for every mitzvah, where to look it up, where in the Gemara does it talk about this mitzvah, some of the halachot, but he also gives you what's called mishorsheh ha-mitzvah, mitame ha-mitzvot. Tame mitzvot are the reasons for the mitzvot. As we know, of course, we don't know exactly what God's reason for the mitzvot are. We can't have such audacity to say that we know what God's reason is, but we can try. Yeah, the Harambam says that it's a mitzvah for every Jew to try to understand on his level a little bit about the mitzvah. What can you take them from the mitzvah? You have Shabbat, okay? So God commanded Shabbat. The Torah says, because I created the world. It's also Zecher Yitzat Mitzrayim. It says in Parashat Va'etchanan, in the Ten Commandments, it says, so you should remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And the first time, Parashat Yitro, it says, because I created the world. So there you go. There's a reason. We keep Shabbat. But now, why 39 melachot? Why can't I, take out my seed out of my watermelon, Rabbi? You know, we have to understand, what are ta'ame mitzvot? If you notice, we don't say sibata mitzvot, the reason for mitzvot. We say ta'ame mitzvot. Ta'ame ha-mitzvot means, what's a ta'am? The flavor, a taste of the mitzvah. Meaning, we don't say that we know the exact reason of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to look in the Sifrei Kabbalah. They give you a little bit more of the deeper reason. What happens in Shamayim when you do the mitzvah? What spiritual effect does your mitzvah have? We're talking about ta'amim mitzvot. Ta'amim mitzvot, a taste of the mitzvah, something that you can take with you. So we're going to discuss today the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which is this week's parasha. That was the mitzvah that God gave the Jewish people. You have to take the God of the Egyptians and you have to slaughter it in front of their eyes. And then, Shabbat HaGadol, the day that they took the animals was the 10th of Nisan. We celebrate Shabbat HaGadol for that reason. The Jews took the God of the Egyptians right in their face, right in front of them, with no fear. And the Egyptians were... God put a fear in their heart. They didn't do anything to the Jewish people. That was a big miracle. That's why we have Shabbat HaGadol. This was one of the first mitzvot the Jewish people received. And if you look in the 613 mitzvot, there are many different mitzvot that apply to the Korban Pesach. It says here, you can't give it to a goy, to a Jew that's mishumad, a Jew that acts like as if he's not Jewish. You can't take the Pesach outside. You can't break the bone of the Korban Pesach. Someone without a brit cannot eat the Korban Pesach. So that's already, that's all about Korban Pesach. Today we're going to discuss, it's the sheet that says Parshat Bo. This is Mitzvah Tet Zayin, okay, which is Mitzvah number 16. Shelo lishbur etze min ha-Pesach. It's asur to break the bone of the Pesach. When we eat the Korban Pesach, you can't break the bone. What's wrong with breaking the bone?
You can't make a bet.
Huh? That's right, you can't break, you can't say, make a wish. You can't do that. Why can't you break the bone? When you're eating, people like eating, taking the bone, breaking the bone. Okay, why not? What's wrong with that? So let's read the Sefer HaChinuch. Now this Sefer HaChinuch is very famous for one line that he says, and this is a theme that he repeats several times. It's a very famous line. It's a line, really, if you think about it, can change your life. That's why I chose this particular mitzvah. So he says, Shelo lishbor etzem mikol atzmot ha-Pesach. You are not supposed to break any one of the bones of the Korban Pesach. Sheneimar ve'etzem lo tishberu bo. Do not break the bone of the Korban Pesach. Mishorshei ha-mitzvah. Okay, what exactly is the reason for this mitzvah? Among the roots of the mitzvah, Yizkor Nisei Mitzrayim. So obviously, it's to remember the Nes of Egypt. That's how God took the Jewish people out of Egypt, was with this mitzvah. And God said, I saw the blood. There were two bloods that God saw. What were the two bloods? Which is
the Mezuzah?
The Mezuzah, Korban Pesach, and the Brit Milah. These were the two things, because you couldn't eat the Korban Pesach without the Brit Milah. So whoever did not have a Brit had to do a Korban Pesach. God said in the zchut of the blood of Brit Milah and the Korban Pesach that you took the God of the Egyptians without any fear, you believed in me, you trusted me, that they wouldn't do anything to you. That's why I redeem you. So obviously, when we eat the Korban Pesach, it's to remember Egypt. Just like the Sefer HaKinuch says, but the way I wrote in the other mitzvot. Now, the question is, why the bone? Why can't you break the bone? He says, this is also, you know, from the same tree of what I just said, that it's Zechad Yitzat Mitzrayim. She'en kavod lesarim v'yuhatse eretz. It is not becoming, it is not fitting for princes and, you know, ministers, advisors, secretary of state. We're all princes of Hashem. It is not becoming of us ligror ha'atzamot, to take the bones, to drag the bones u'leshovram kichlavim, and to break them like dogs. When you eat bones, it's a little bit animalistic. Lo ye'ot la'asot kacha, ki im la'ani ha'am ha're'ayvim. He says the people that break bones and eat whatever you do in your own home, you know. Some people like the marrow, you know. But it's not becoming of princes. It's not something you do at a banquet. You know, you had a fancy banquet. You don't take the bones and start, you know, licking the bones. It's not nice. He said, it's for the poor people that do such a thing. He said that when we first became the nation of Hashem, this is the first time we're becoming the nation of God. It gives us a special mitzvah that was never commanded. We have Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. All of a sudden, new mitzvah. You have to take an animal and shech the animal. Korban Pesach. God slowly made the Jewish people into His nation with more mitzvah to give them more responsibility. And He made us His chosen nation. Mamlechet Kohanim Egoi Kadosh. To be His nation of priests and a holy nation. We're all Kohanim, you know that. We're all Kohanim. We might not do the Bikat Kohanim, but we're all meant to be priests for the Goyim. That's why God said, you are my priests. You're supposed to lead the example for the world to know that there's Hashem by the way you act. Every year, at the same exact time, the same time that the Jewish people had the Korban Pesach, we have to reenact what they did. We have to show ourselves and demonstrate our actions with the same Kavod, the same level that the Jewish people were on at that moment. So we have to reenact what took place. We have to act like kings. That's why we don't break the bone, because breaking a bone is why kings don't do that at their table. By the action and the imagination that we have. When we do the mitzvah, there's the actual act and there's what you're thinking of. You're sitting with your family doing Korban Pesach. God should build a Beit HaMikdash. Imagine eating the Korban Pesach with your family. Today we have the matzah. Zecher Korban Pesach. It's just a reminder. Imagine eating the Korban Pesach and you tell your children about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. You're bringing them to emunah. You're giving them the emunah of what took place. And you're passing on the mesorah. He says, when we do these things, nikba benafshotenu adavar la'olam. These things become implanted in our hearts forever. A child that sees his father making Korban Pesach, that's it. For life, he knows what Korban Pesach is. He knows what, even the Haggadah Shel Pesach. You see, until today, we're still doing Haggadah Shel Pesach. For some reason, Jews that have no affiliation, they get the Maxwell House Haggadah, you know, and they're set. Pesach, you know, it's still there. It's still here. Everyone does some type of something. Even if you have chametz in your house, at least you have the box of matzah. You know, it's a zecher ba'alma. Ve'al tachshov benina. So now here, the Sefer HaChinuch, I did not mention this earlier, but it was actually a book that was written for his son. So Sefer HaChinuch, it's a book of education. This Rishon, we don't know who he is exactly. We think it's Rabbi Aharon HaLevi. Rabbi Aharon HaLevi, he wrote this book for his son. And he was educating him in the mitzvot and the 613 commandments. So he says in our parasha, he says, I know you're going to ask the following question. Why do we have so many mitzvot? Everything zecher l'yetzat mitzrayim. We make kiddush zecher l'yetzat mitzrayim. Korban Pesach zecher l'yetzat mitzrayim. All the mitzvot zecher l'yetzat mitzrayim. Isn't one mitzvah enough? Okay, I understand it's important. Every mitzvah that we have zecher l'yetzat mitzrayim. He says, "Va'al tachshov beni, don't think, my son, litpos al dvarai, okay, to argue with me. Ve'lomar, lama yitzaveh otanu Hashem yitzbarach la'asot kol ele li'zichron oto hanes. Why did God command us all these different mitzvot to remember the same miracle? Halo bizikaron echad ya'aleh ha'davar b'machshavtenu. Even with one mitzvah, one memory that we have of the mitzvah, that should be enough. Ya'aleh ha'davar b'machshavtenu. We'll understand this concept. Ve'lo yishakach mipi zara'enu. And our children will not forget. You have one mitzvah. So what would you say? What do you guys say? Why do we have so many mitzvot? 613 mitzvot. One's not enough? Anyone have any suggestions? Let's say you were writing a book for your son. And your son, you know, you're educating your son. Or he asks you. You know, they will ask us eventually. Hopefully they're interested enough to ask, right? Look what he says. He says, Da ki lo mechochma titpeseni al ze. You have to realize that's not a very wise question to ask. It's really an immature question that is, you know, getting you to ask this question. It's not a very smart question. Why? Listen, my son. If you want to listen to wisdom, he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, to listen to wisdom. I'm going to teach you something that will help your Torah and your mitzvot. Da, you should know, ki ha'adam nif'al kifi pe'ulotav. A human being is affected by his actions. You understand? It's not that you act because you feel a certain way, so you do things. It's just the opposite. By doing things, by doing physical acts, that affects the way you think. God wants to change the way we think. So he gives us mitzvot, and he gives us actions, which change the way we think. Your heart and all of your thoughts are always after your actions, shu osik bahem, which you immerse yourselves in them. Im tov v'imra, whether they're good or they're bad. Whatever you're immersed in, that's what you put your mind with. You can have emunah, you can be a tzaddik in your head. The actions that you do will eventually determine who you become. The actions are the most important thing over here. The Afilu Rasha Gamar, listen to this, it's amazing. The Gemara actually says, I'll just preface this with the Gemara. The Gemara says, Halevai oti azvu, v'torati lo azvu. God said, you know, if the Jewish people would abandon me and not keep the mitzvot anymore, but study Torah, they'll come back eventually because Ha'or Shebo Machziram Lemutav. The Torah is so powerful, it's going to bring them back. Coming to a shiur once a week, once a month. Just coming to a shiur, hearing words of Torah, eventually they play with your neshama. He says, take an example of it. It says, "Vafilu rasha gamur." If you have a total rasha, chas v'shalom, gamur bilvavo. Okay, he's really, his thoughts are in the wrong place. His desires are all wrong. V'chol yetzer machshavot ibo rak kol hayom. He's quoting the pasuk in Bereshit that his entire yetzer, his whole inclination, is just to do bad. All he wants to do is do bad. Im yare ruho, let's say he stirs himself, v'yasim ishtadluto v'yizko batmada b'torah b'mitzvot. Let's say he says, you know what? I know I do all sorts of things. You know what? I'm going to be matmid b'torah. I want to start learning Torah. Now, atmada does not necessarily mean learning all the time. It's being matmid with a seder. You know, I'm going to learn every day at the same time. For 5 minutes, I'm going to learn Mishnah every day. I'm going to take Rambam, study Mishnah every day. Kviut, the hatmada does not mean constant learning. Hatmada means being consistent, whatever you're able to do. With Torah mitzvot, afilu shelo leshem shamayim, even if you're learning for the wrong reasons, even though you're learning, just what's that? Because there's sushi, right? Even that's your only reason, or for social reasons, or for whatever reason, because it's stimulating. You know, it was not uncommon in Europe in the 1800s when you had the whole Haskalah, the whole Enlightenment movement, we had bachurim that were mechalal Shabbat, totally assimilated, totally involved with Russian, the high Russian culture. If there's such a thing, right? That's what their minds were with just the literature of Tolstoy and whatever else. Smoking on Shabbat, studying Bava Metzia, it was well known. There were many people that used to do this because it's so interesting, it's so stimulating.
intellectual.
It's intellectual. It's a, you know, it builds your mind. I just picked them. Whatever. I picked the hard Gemara. You know, they were studying Gemara, and they knew how to learn these people. They went to yeshiva, but the Haskalah was so strong, this inclination to go against the Torah, to be enlightened. You know, and in those days, secular studies basically meant, if you study anything secular, it basically means you're not going to be religious anymore. Very few Jews remained religious. Today, Baruch Hashem, you have yeshivot that combine the two, our schools combine the two subjects. You can do both and be Yerei Shamayim. That was like, didn't exist in those times. But he says, let's say you have a Rasha who has no desire to do mitzvot, but he studies Torah. Even for the wrong reasons, miyad yintel latov, eventually it will steer him to be to do what's right. The Torah itself has the power to bring someone in. To change who you are. And I heard a story from Zechar Tzadik Livracha, Rav Simcha Wasserman. I heard a story about Rav Simcha Wasserman. You know, Rav Simcha Wasserman was one of the, if you want to call it, the founders of the Orthodox community in Los Angeles. He was the son of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, who was a Talmid of the Chafetz Chaim in Chafetz Chaim in Europe. And he was one of the first really Orthodox rabbis in Los Angeles. He built the yeshiva, Yerei Or Elchanan, which is Chabad yeshiva now. He started the yeshiva, and he was here for 25 years until 1979. And then he moved to Israel and built the yeshiva there. He was very involved with Kiruv, outreach. He used to visit army bases and all sorts of places that were very far from Judaism. And he was giving a shiur one time, and one of his talmidim said, I'm going, I was asked to speak to people that are not religious at all. I don't know what to talk about. I have to give a shiur. I don't know, I don't have such a background in Kiruv and in Jewish philosophy. What should I talk about? He said, well, what are you studying in yeshiva? So I'm studying Bava Kama. What's Bava Kama meant? Anyone know? If your cow gores someone or bites someone. It's about animals. At least the beginning is about animals. I'm studying Bava Kama. He said, so teach Bava Kama. Teach them about the mitzvot. Teach them what you know. You know, you have to explain it nicely. You have to be able to present it, but speak about what you're learning. He said, Bava Kama, they don't even know what Aleph-Bet is. He said, explain on their level about the mitzvot. He says the mitzvot are powerful. He said, if you teach them mitzvot, talk to them about Torah, ha'or shebo machziram lemutam. The Torah itself is so powerful, it can bring, it ignites the spark that's already there. In every Jew, there's a small spark somewhere. It might be covered with all sorts of thoughts, all sorts of different, ideologies, but there's a Jew inside there. You ignite it with the Torah. The Torah itself ignites it. Mitzvot. You know, people ask, you know, Chabad in very far off places, they have the tefillin vans. And you think, the guy doesn't even believe in God. He's putting on tefillin. What good is it going to do? If you look at the halachot of tefillin, you have to have machshava, moach, l'shabed et ha-moach, et ha-lev. You're supposed to think about how you're subjugating your mind to Hashem, your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What good is it to put tefillin on someone who doesn't even, barely knows he's Jewish? He might not even have a brit milah. The answer is, it's Torah. It's a mitzvah. It's so holy, it's going to ignite him. Somehow, eventually, it's going to ignite him. Maybe he won't see it. And a lot of times you hear amazing stories how, because they met that one guy who put tefillin or shook a lulav, it's a connection, I'm Jewish, there's something. There's something there. It's very powerful. So he says, even a Rasha, with his good actions, he can change himself. He says, "Ubekoach ma'asav yamit ha-yetzer hara." With his actions, he will destroy his yetzer hara, Bezrat Hashem. So look, this is the famous line I mentioned to you. Okay, if you want to memorize this line, take this with you. Write on your iPhone. Okay, so every time you turn it on. Ki acharei ha-pe'ulot nimshachim ha-levavot. Acharei ha-pe'ulot nimshachim ha-levavot. After your actions, that's where your heart goes. Your heart goes with your actions. If you want to be a giving person, you want to be a kind person, it doesn't start with being a kind person. It starts with doing chesed. If you give tzedakah and you help, you don't want to help. You don't feel like helping. You don't even have rachmanut in your heart. You don't even care.
So you just force yourself.
You force yourself, go be mevaker cholim. Go help someone in a hospital bed. You know, do something you really don't want to do. Eventually, you do it enough, you're going to become a big Baal Rahamim. You become a very kind person. And just the opposite, God forbid, if you do things that are not good, even though your mind is in the right place, well, it's okay. I see things I shouldn't see. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm not doing it. It will seep in. The neshama is very, very fragile. You be very careful with the neshama. Let's say it together. Right? After the action, that's where the heart goes. But afilu miyeh adam tzaddik. Look at the opposite. It says tzaddik. Tzaddik gamur. Ulevavo yashav etamim. Someone that's a tzaddik. He's upright, upstanding Jew. He's tamim. He's pure-hearted. Chafetz betorah u'bamitzvot. You see, you notice all the wording he uses. He doesn't say that he does great acts. He's chafetz betorah u'bamitzvot. His desire is to be a tzaddik. His desire is to learn Torah. Chafetz. Which is good. You should have that desire. But you have to do something with that desire. We all want to be tzaddikim. Everyone wants to be a tzaddik. Yes, you want to be a tzaddik? Or you want to be a benoni? Or you want to be a rasha? Who wants to be... You know, I'm happy being just like nothing. I'm average. No one wants to be average. Of course you want to be a tzaddik. Question is, what are you going to do about it? How do you go about being a tzaddik? So he says, is chafet b'torah b'mitzvot. He just has desires with Torah mitzvot. Im yasok tamid bidvarim shel dofi. Now his desire is in the right place, but he is dealing with stupidity. Dofi, things that are nonsense. That his mind is with things that are not important, things that are not spiritual, things that are not, that have no value. That's nothing. You know? These greatest hits, you know, like the famous song that's popular right now. You know, it's like no one's gonna hear about it, you know, next year. It's nothing. You know, when you fill your mind with things that are not important, then as soon as you open up the Gemara, where'd that song come from? You know? It's like the worst thing, you know, that song. You know, Israel especially, you walk on the bus, they have like from the 80s. They always put like the old songs from like when I was a kid, you know? I don't want to hear that song, you know? Only in Israel, like they pick like the old songs, you know? Like no one is listening to that song except for this bus, you know, in Israel. So now you have to, he says, if this person is doing things shel dofi, ki'ilu tomar derech mashal shechiru ha-melech u'menel u'menot ra'a. Okay, he says, you know, it says, for example, that you were appointed to do something that is not a good umanut, not a good profession. You're doing something that you should not be doing. I don't understand exactly why he uses that example. He says, be'emet, you have someone who has his desire is with Torah and mitzvot, but he's doing things that are inconsequential or things that are not good. Be'emet, im kol eskot tamid kol hayom ba'ota umanut. If everything you're doing all day, you're stuck doing something that is not spiritual, Yashuv lizman min hazmanim mitzidkat libo liyot rasha gamur. Eventually, your pure heart, Torah mitzvot, I want to be tzaddik. You're eventually not going to even care about it. You might even come to a point where you're going to think, ah, there's no such thing as being a tzaddik. No such thing. That rabbi, these rabbis, you know. Because that's a way of justifying yourself. You don't feel so good about yourself, so they're not good either. You know, that's the other extreme. That's an extreme, because you can be someone that knows they're not on such a high level, but yeah, they're tzaddikim. You know, tzaddikim. We go to Kibbutz tzaddikim. There's such a thing. Moroccans especially have this concept very, very clearly. The belief in tzaddikim, it's ingrained in their minhag. You know, you go to Kibbutz tzaddik. Eventually, if a person really goes too far, eventually there's no such thing as being a tzaddik, right? It's all money. Oh, these rabbis, all money. They all want money. You know. And these things, these words, if you believe it enough, eventually you read these books, and you say, you know what, this guy likes money. I don't have to read this book. You're mizalzel everything. You have no, nothing talks to you. You hear a dvar Torah, there are ulterior motives, you know. And then the Torah doesn't talk to you anymore. Because you already prejudge. That's, God forbid, if you do things that you shouldn't be doing. It's the pe'ulot, it's the actions that you do that affect the way you feel inside. He says, you can become a Rasha Gamur, God forbid. He says, it's well known, a person is affected by what he does. This is what the rabbi said. It says in Masechet Makot, we all know this. It says, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu lezakot et Yisrael, lefichach, hirba lehen Torah mitzvot, shenemar, Hashem chafetz amatzev yedivadi, itgadah. Everyone knows this Mishnah over here. It says that God wanted to give us zechut. He wanted to give the Jewish people merit. So he gave them many mitzvot. That's why God gave them many mitzvot.
So that was the answer to the son's question.
The answer, yeah, exactly. We give a lot of mitzvot. I ask you a question. This famous question, many mefarshim ask the following question. If God really wants to give us, to make our lives good, and to help us out, why did he give us so many mitzvot? Just been just the opposite. Because think about it. The more mitzvot you have, the more averot you have also. There are 365 negative commandments and 248 positive commandments. So now, if you transgress the 365 mitzvot, so that's not good, right? The goyim don't have that many. They have seven. That's all they have is seven. Only seven. They don't even have any positive mitzvot. Belief in Hashem, maybe. I don't know if that's the negative of believing Avodah Zarah. They don't have that many averot. Now, if you don't keep the 248 mitzvot, that's also an avera because you're not keeping what you're supposed to be keeping. So, bitel mitzvot aseh, you're mevatel mitzvot aseh. You're not doing what you should be doing. So, why is that good? Why did God give us all mitzvot? He wants to give us merit. He wants to purify us. He gives us a lot of mitzvot. It should be just the opposite. Many mefarshim asked this question. Anyone have a good answer? Give us eight mitzvot. Give me five mitzvot. I'll be a tzaddik. Those five mitzvot. I have to learn Torah, put tefillin. My tefillin aren't kosher. I've been wearing tefillin the whole life. They're not even kosher. Ever happened to you? You know, there's so many, and then you're wearing tzitzit. You say tzitzit pasul. I made a brachal vatan. I made a sin. No? What were you going to say?
The razon, if you have the razon to put on tefillin, even if the tefillin turned out to be not kosher, you still...
So you get something. You get something, yeah.
And then, you know, look, if you only have seven mitzvot and you're able to complete the seven mitzvot, great, you get the scar for seven mitzvot. But if you're successful in keeping 50, you know,
exactly, yeah.
Or you're successful in not doing this avir, not doing this avir, the scar we get.
The scar is amazing.
It's amazing.
But it's very good. So basically, the potential, you're saying the potential, it's worth it for the potential. God gave us a potential to be unbelievable. But he also gave us potential to be big Rishayim. Because there's so many things that you can that can go wrong. Where's the schut over here? So I'll tell you what the Rambam says. Rambam, he says that every Jew has their mitzvah. There's so many different types of mitzvot. And you see, so many different, we're all different. We all look different. Right? Baruch Hashem, God bless all of you. All of us. Kol Am Yisrael. Everyone's different. Everyone has their own face, their own family, their own mind. Everyone's totally different, and everyone connects to different mitzvot. Yeah? Everyone connects to different mitzvot. Some people chesed, some people, bikur cholim, nichum avelim. Everyone has their thing that they're really good at, you know? And Hashem gave you many mitzvot, that way you can perfect the one mitzvah. And it's very clear from the Gemara that the Amoraim, in the time of the Gemara, they each chose a mitzvah. I know one rabbi, he told me, he said, my mitzvah is mila, brit mila. I do for free. Anyone that wants a mila, I do for free. That's my mitzvah. He like lives for it, you know? And he feels that it gives him chiyut, you know? So you have to find, the Rambam says, you have to find that mitzvah that you can really excel at. And that's your mitzvah. And you're very machmir in that mitzvah. You really do that mitzvah to the... So that's a schut, because the Rambam says that's your ticket to Olam Haba. When you do a mitzvah perfectly, with the right intention, and you really try your best, that really, you get a very high Olam Haba with that. But still, Rambam doesn't really answer the question of, you're like worse off also, because fine, I'm going to perfect one mitzvah, but what about all the other ones that I'm not keeping? So I'll tell you a mashal, a parable from the Dubna Magid. Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Dubna Magid said, one time there was an uncle and a nephew, they used to work together. Could be a father and son also. I don't know why, picked uncle. Usually everyone has like an uncle they work for. More than the father, no? It's always that way. Especially in downtown, no? No? You don't think so? Uncle. You know what I'm talking about. I had jewelry. My uncle, right? Anyway, it was an uncle and his nephew. They were working together. And, the boy, you know, his nephew got older. And now it's time to send him out. Now he can be the buyer. Okay, so he made up a list of different people he has to see, etc. And then he overheard his nephew talking to his friend. He said, you know, I'm so excited. He said, my first time out of my house, going to a big city, you know, there's so many fun things to do there and some bad things to do there also. He was very excited to finally leave his home. And the uncle heard this. So what did the uncle do? Okay, he telegrammed. Okay, whatever. So it's an old mashal. He sent to wherever his nephew was going to go. He sent a lot of business associates to come to him. He basically filled up his nephew's schedule like to the max. He was there for 2 days and it was like 24/7. He was a nonstop traffic. Okay, and he made a lot of money. He did well. He came back exhausted and not so happy. His uncle said, "How did it go?" He said, "It's miserable." He said, "I never worked so hard in my life. I didn't see anything, nothing. So many sights to see, beautiful things. I didn't see anything. I was stuck in my in the office the whole day." He said, "You know, you can blame me. I wanted to protect you. I wanted to protect you. The Dumna Hagit says the Torah is protection. We have a lot of mitzvot. It keeps us busy. Okay? Now, this is not getting involved with the Kabbalah of how the mitzvot protect you and what they do for you and all of that. On a very, very basic level, keeping the mitzvot keeps you out of trouble. And it's true. It keeps you out of trouble. Because there's so many things you have to do. And we're constantly osek ba mitzvot. When you're really osek ba mitzvot and you really immerse yourself in the mitzvot, it changes you. It changes you to the extent that, you know, you don't even want to do those things anymore. You're so satisfied with what you're doing, and you feel so fulfilled, spiritually fulfilled. He says that's his take. More than a negative, it's a protection against doing things that we shouldn't be doing. You know, they say sports. I heard a rabbi one time say that sports is a big bracha. You know, in the old days, people had idle time. What did they do with idle time? Let's make a pogrom, you know? Let's pick on the Jews. There's too much free idle time. The Mishnah says idle time brings avon. When we're not doing anything, what do people do when they're not doing anything? Let's fight. Let's do, you know, that's what do people do when they're in a bar not doing anything? They're idle. Let's make trouble. They just sit nicely. Let's talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what they do. Idle time brings sin. So I heard from Rosh Hashiva one time. He said, a big bracha that we have today is sports. Sports keeps the goyim like, they don't care.